From a simple threshing floor to the Temple Mount to the final restoration of all things. We're going to touch on all three of those points today in today's reading from the scriptures. We're going to see a Yeshua sighting in the Old Testament found in Deuteronomy 18. Moses points us to him. The Lord your God will raise up a prophet like me from among your own people. Listen carefully to everything he tells you. Who was he talking about? He was speaking of Yeshua, our Messiah. Listen in as we learn and look at the connection of the threshing floor to the Temple Mount to the final restoration of all things. Welcome to the Daily Audio Torah. Today is June 5th. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the New Living Translation for the Old Testament and for the New Testament. Numbers 3, 33 to 51. The descendants of Merari were composed of the clans descended from Mahli and Mushi. There were 6,200 males 1 month old or older among these Merarite clans. They were assigned the area north of the tabernacle for their camp. The leader of the Merarite clans was Zuriel, son of Abihail. These two clans were responsible for the care of the frames supporting the tabernacle, the crossbars, the pillars, the bases, and all the equipment related to their use. They were also responsible for the posts of the courtyard and all their bases, pegs, and ropes. The area in front of the tabernacle, in the east toward the sunrise, was reserved for the tents of Moses and of Aaron and his sons, who had the final responsibility for the sanctuary on behalf of the people of Israel. Anyone other than a priest or Levite who went too near the sanctuary was to be put to death. When Moses and Aaron counted the Levite clans at the Lord's command, the total number was 22,000 males 1 month old or older. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now count all the firstborn sons in Israel who are 1 month old or older, and make a list of their names. The Levites must be reserved for me as substitutes for the firstborn sons of Israel. I am the Lord. And the Levites' livestock must be reserved for me as substitutes for the firstborn livestock of the whole nation of Israel." So Moses counted the firstborn sons of the people of Israel, just as the Lord had commanded. The number of firstborn sons who were 1 month old or older was 22,273. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Take the Levites as substitutes for the firstborn sons of the people of Israel. And take the livestock of the Levites as substitutes for the firstborn livestock of the people of Israel. The Levites belong to me. I am the Lord." There are 273 more firstborn sons of Israel than there are Levites. To redeem these extra firstborn sons, collect 5 pieces of silver for each of them, each piece weighing the same as the sanctuary shekel, which equals 20 gerahs. Give the silver to Aaron and his sons as the redemption price for the extra firstborn son. So Moses collected the silver for redeeming the firstborn sons of Israel, who exceeded the number of Levites. He collected 1,365 pieces of silver on behalf of these firstborn sons of Israel, each piece weighing the same as the sanctuary shekel. And Moses gave the silver for the redemption to Aaron and his sons, just as the Lord had commanded. Second Samuel 23:24-24:25. Other members of the 30 included Asahel, Joab's brother, Elhanan, son of Dodo from Bethlehem, Shammah from Herod, Elika from Herod, Helez from Pelon, Ira, son of Ikesh from Tekoa, Abiezer from Anathoth, Sibbekai from Husha, Zalman from Ahoa, Maharai from Netophah, Heled, son of Bana from Netophah, Ithai, son of Ribai from Gibeah, from the tribe of Benjamin, Benaiah from Pirathon, Hurai from Nahal Gaash, Abi Albon the Arathite, Asmaveth from Bahurim, Eliaiba from Shelbon, the sons of Jashan, Jonathan, son of Shaggy from Harar, Ahiam, son of Sharar from Harar, Eliphelet, son of Abishai from Makkah, Eliam, son of Ahithophel from Gilo, Hezro from Carmel, Harai from Arba, Egal, son of Nathan from Zobah, Benai from Gad, Zelek from Ammon, Naharai from Bera, Joab's armor-bearer, Ira from Jatir, Gareb from Jatir, Uriah the Hittite. There were 37 in all. Once again, the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he caused David to harm them by taking a census. Go and count the people of Israel and Judah, the Lord told him. So the king said to Joab, the commander of his army, take a census of all the people in the land, from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south, so that I may know how many people there are. But Joab replied to the king, may the Lord your God let you live until there are 100 times as many people in your kingdom as there are now. But why do you want to do this? But the king insisted that they take the census. So Joab and his officers went out to count the people of Israel. First, they crossed the Jordan and camped at Aroer, south of the town in the valley, in the direction of Gad. Then they went on to Jazer, then to Gilead in the land of Tatim Hodshi, and to Danjan and around to Sidon. Then they came to the stronghold of Tyre and all the cities of the Hivites and Canaanites. Finally, they went south to Judah as far as Beersheba. Having gone through the entire land, they completed their task in 9 months and 20 days and then returned to Jerusalem. Joab reported the number of people to the king. There were 800,000 men of military age in Israel and 500,000 in Judah. But after he had taken the census, David's conscience began to bother him. And he said to the Lord, I have sinned greatly and shouldn't have taken the census. Please forgive me, Lord, for doing this foolish thing. The next morning, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Gad, who was David's seer. This was the message. Go and say to David, this is what the Lord says. I will give you three choices. Choose one of these punishments and I will do it. So Gad came to David and asked him, will you choose 3 years of famine throughout the land, 3 months of fleeing from your enemies, or 3 days of severe plague throughout your land? Think this over and let me know what answer to give the Lord. This is a desperate situation, David replied to Gad, but let us fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercy is great. Do not let me fall into human hands. So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel that morning, and it lasted for 3 days. 70,000 people died throughout the nation. But as the death angel was preparing to destroy Jerusalem, the Lord relented and said to the angel, stop, that is enough. At that moment, the angel of the Lord was by the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. When David saw the angel, he said to the Lord, I am the one who has sinned and done wrong, but these people are innocent. What have they done? Let your anger fall against me and my family. That day, Gad came to David and said to him, go and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. So David went to do what the Lord had commanded him. When Araunah saw the king and his men coming toward him, he came forward and bowed before the king with his face to the ground. Why have you come, my lord? Araunah asked. And David replied, I have come to buy your threshing floor and to build an altar to the Lord there so that the Lord will stop the plague. Take it, my lord, and use it as you wish, Araunah said to David. Here are oxen for the burnt offering, and you can use the threshing tools and ox yokes for wood to build a fire on the altar. I will give it all to you, and may the Lord your God accept your sacrifice. But the king replied to Aruna, "No, I insist on buying it, for I cannot present burnt offerings to the Lord my God that have cost me nothing." So David paid him 50 pieces of silver for the threshing floor and the oxen. David built an altar there to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. And the Lord answered his prayer, and the plague was stopped. Acts 3:1-26. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting a gift. But Peter said, "I don't have any money for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankle bones were healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then, walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the Beautiful Gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out to Solomon's colonnade, where he was holding tightly to Peter and John. Everyone stood there in awe of the wonderful thing that had happened. Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. "People of Israel," he said, "what is so astounding about this? And why look at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power and godliness? For it is the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of all our ancestors, who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. This is the same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate, despite Pilate's decision to release him. You rejected this holy, righteous one and instead demanded the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life, but God raised him to life, and we are witnesses of this fact. The name of Jesus has healed this man, and you know how lame he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has caused this healing before your very eyes. Friends, I realize that what you did to Jesus was done in ignorance. The same can be said of your leaders, but God was fulfilling what all the prophets had declared about Messiah beforehand, that he must suffer all these things. Now turn from your sins and turn to God so that you can be cleansed of your sins. Then wonderful times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and he will send Jesus, your Messiah, to you again. For he must remain in heaven until the time for the final restoration of all things, as God promised long ago through his prophets. Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up a prophet like me from among your own people. Listen carefully to everything he tells you." Then Moses said, "Anyone who will not listen to that prophet will be cut off from God's people and utterly destroyed." Starting with Samuel, every prophet spoke about what is happening today. You are the children of those prophets, and you are included in the covenant God promised to your ancestors. For God said to Abraham, "Through your descendants, all the families on the earth will be blessed." When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to your people of Israel to bless you by turning each of you back from your sinful ways. Psalm 123:1-4. I lift my eyes to you, O God, enthroned in heaven. We look to the Lord our God for his mercy. Just as servants keep their eyes on their master, as a slave girl watches her mistress for the slightest signal. Have mercy on us, Lord, have mercy, for we have had our fill of contempt. We have had our fill of the scoffing of the proud and the contempt of the arrogant. Proverbs 16:21-23. The wise are known for their understanding, and instruction is appreciated if it's well presented. Discretion is a life-giving fountain to those who possess it, but discipline is wasted on fools. From a wise mind comes wise speech. The words of the wise are persuasive. I'd like to speak to you today from our reading from 2 Samuel, and then we're also going to look into Acts chapter 3. So I want to begin with talking about what happened in 2 Samuel in chapter 23. A plague came upon the Israelites because David did a census. He did a counting, a numbering of the people, and this brought about the anger of the Lord. So Gad, the prophet and seer, comes to David and asks him, choose which one of these you would like to experience as a consequence, either 3 years of famine, 3 months of fleeing from your enemies, or 3 days of severe plague. And David says, I'd rather fall into the hands of God than into the hands of man. I'll take the 3 days of plague. So the angel goes over the camp and 70,000 people die. But David pleads and cries out, and he says, I'm the one who has sinned and done wrong. These people are innocent. Please let your anger fall against me. And then Gad comes to David and says, go build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. So David goes to Araunah, and he says, I've come to buy your threshing floor and to build an altar to the Lord there so that the Lord will stop this plague. And Araunah offers to just give it to him. And David says, no, I have to buy it. So he purchases the threshing floor, and then he makes this altar. He says, I insist on buying it. I cannot present burnt offerings to the Lord my God that have cost me nothing. So he pays him 50 pieces of silver for this threshing floor, and then he builds the altar there to the Lord and offers burnt offerings and peace offerings. And the Lord answers his prayer, and the plague is stopped. Now, this threshing floor is highly, highly significant. This threshing floor that David purchased for 50 pieces of silver becomes later the Temple Mount. And this is the place that David purchased, this threshing floor. If we go back in history, it's the place where Abraham offered up Isaac as a whole burnt offering. And then the Lord interceded and said, no, I see that you fear God. See that ram in the bushes? Go use that ram instead. And the sages would say that this very spot is also the foundation of where God began to create everything in the Garden of Eden, that this is the spot where Adam and Eve were created. So this is the most highly contested piece of real estate on planet Earth, this Temple Mount. And after the burning and destruction of the first temple in 586 BC from Nebuchadnezzar, then the temple was rebuilt and then destroyed again in 70 AD by the Romans and the Roman general Titus leading them. Then after that, after the temple was destroyed, later on the Al-Aqsa Mosque was built there in its place. But we still have the Western Wall still standing, where today it's basically an outdoor synagogue. So I just wanted to point out the significance of this threshing floor that David bought and paid for with 50 pieces of silver, that it was later to become the temple. Now I want to jump into Acts chapter 3, and we see a really interesting connection there. So Peter is speaking to the people of Israel, and he's talking to them and he says, friends, I realize that what you did to Jesus was done in ignorance, and the same can be said of your leaders. But God was fulfilling what all the prophets had declared about the Messiah beforehand, that he must suffer all these things. Now turn from your sins and turn to God so you can be cleansed of your sins. Then wonderful times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and he will send Jesus, your Messiah, to you again. For he must remain in heaven until the time for the final restoration of all things, as God promised long ago through his prophets. So that's an interesting thought. Jesus must remain in heaven until the fullness of time. And when he returns, that will be the final restoration of all things. The earth will be restored. Nations, peoples, tribes will be restored. Jesus will come and do a restoring, redeeming work. And it goes on to say in verse 22, Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up a prophet like me from among your own people. Listen carefully to everything he tells you. That's a prophecy about the future Messiah. He was speaking of Jesus. And that came from Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. And then it goes on to say, back in Acts, verse 23, then Moses said, anyone who will not listen to that prophet, speaking of Jesus, the Messiah, will be cut off from God's people and utterly destroyed. That comes from Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 19. So Moses prophesied about the future Messiah, and he was speaking of Jesus. So there is Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah, found in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Continuing on in verse 25, you are the children of those prophets, and you are included in the covenant God promised to your ancestors. For God said to Abraham, through your descendants, all the families on the earth will be blessed. So this comes from Genesis chapter 22, verse 18. So this promise, this covenant promise, that through your descendants, the descendants of Abraham's, all the families on the earth will be blessed. Who are those children of Abraham? Who are those descendants? That would be the Jews. That would be the Jews. Through the descendants of Abraham, that is the Jews, all the families on the earth will be blessed. So God is not finished with the Jews. He's not finished with the Israeli nation. They are a big part of the unfolding story. They're a big part of the final chapter, the closing chapter before the final restoration of all things. Israel and the Jewish people have a central role to play. It was through the lineage of the Jews that we have our Jewish Messiah, Jesus. Most of the writers of the Old Testament and the New Testament were Jewish. The 12 disciples were Jewish. Jesus himself is Jewish, and he is the king of the Jews. It was the Jews who gave us the oracles of God, who carefully, meticulously scribed the Old Testament and wrote the Hebrew Scriptures and gave that to the world. So they are a light to the nations. They have an integral part to play in the final chapter as we get closer and closer to the final restoration of all things. And so therefore, we must stand with and support and pray for and link arms with our Jewish brothers and sisters. Have a blessed day, and we will see you tomorrow. Shalom.
Yeah, Adonai, Panavilakah. Vikuneka Yisa Adonai Panav Ileka Vayasein Leka Leka Shalom.
The Aaronic Blessing from Numbers chapter 6, 24 to 26. Adonai bless you and keep you. Adonai make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Adonai lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.